Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go out to our Cleveland sports beat reporter, is Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Not much, you tell me.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I feel like it's not much, but also enough. I mean, you want to talk about what's going on right now. People probably more overreacting to the fact that Myles Garrett was driving 100 miles an hour in a 60. So I guess we can start there, Daryl. He's way home from Carolina, caught doing that speed in Strongsville, gets a citation. Is this any lack of a show of leadership, or is it anything beyond Myles got a speeding ticket?
Well, this is the eighth speeding citation he has gotten. This is the third or fourth one for doing 100 miles an hour or more. And he almost killed himself and a passenger by flipping his Porsche a few years ago. So this is not much ado about nothing. At some point, Miles just needs to grow up and be a little safer. I get the adrenaline junkie rush and all that kind of stuff. I understand maybe down in Texas doing 100 miles an hour on a freeway is no big deal. But this isn't Texas. And also, he's gotten nailed there on multiple occasions. Like, that's an intelligence test to me. Like, why would you try and go 100 mile an hour where you've gotten picked off before? So, while it's not reason for outrage and hot takes at this, that, and the other, there's a pattern of behavior here that needs to be adjusted for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Daryl. I do have to say, over on X, you tweeted out, I like the suggestion that ownership just builds a speedway and they just let the guys get it out that way. That feels like a unrealistic, but also not that bad of an idea to get these guys to just avoid going too fast in their car.
Well, there has to be some sort of solution to this, okay? These guys want to drive 120 miles an hour, and I get that. I want to drive 120 miles an hour. Here's the difference, though. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to try it. So I'm all in favor of these guys having their good time, but let's not be putting the public in jeopardy while doing it. And yeah, I kind of feel like that there's got to be some way that you can allow these guys to do this in a way that allows them to get their thrill, right? Because that's a big part of it. But also do it outside of the boundaries of worrying about law enforcement getting involved, right? In public freeways. So again, like, I'm not the fun police here, but like, it's not like he got pulled over for doing 80 in a 60. Then that's much ado about nothing, okay? We've all done that. But when you're plus 40 over the speed limit, that's a problem. And he's lucky he didn't get charged with reckless operation. Fun story, years ago, I got a speeding ticket because I was doing 77 in a 60 up I-71 at about 4:30 in the morning. This was years and years and years ago, because I was late for work. I was producing a morning show at the time, and I slept through the alarm, woke up late, and so I was flooring it. And that police officer not only charged me with speeding, but he charged me with reckless operation of my vehicle, and I had to go to court. So, I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
just real world experience here, you know, could have been worse. And then, like I said, like, you know, Miles got in a serious car accident. I think it was a Porsche. I
think you're right. Yeah, I want to say that's what it was.
But he rolled his Porsche the length of like 5 football fields. And he could have killed himself. He could have killed his passenger at the time. So that's where I'm concerned, right? It's a public safety issue for me more so than, you know, I'm just trying to dump all over Myles Garrett for going out and having a good time cruising down the highway there. Like, this isn't the first time he's done it. He's been nailed multiple times. He's flipped the car and nearly killed people, including himself. And no lesson apparently was learned from that. And that's kind of like where I'm at. If you would have gotten nailed doing 20, 25 over the limit, we all been there, done that. Nothing to see here. But it is yet another instance of him being careless on a freeway doing triple digits. And I just think that at some point there needs to be a change in behavior there, because he's clearly forgotten about, oh, by the way, that shoulder injury that he had to play with the rest of the season as the result of that accident too. Let's not forget that element. In addition to almost killing himself and a passenger, he had to play the rest of the season with a banged up shoulder. So, you know, details.
Daryl Ryder, our very own witness here on the hotline. Daryl, plenty obviously happening around the team in terms of football as well. Heading into Saturday in a preseason game against the Eagles, which quarterback do you think has the most pressure riding on their shoulders?
Dylan Gabriel. Why, it's not even close. He's got to match what Shedeur Sanders. Look, if he's healthy, he starts. I'm convinced of it. I haven't been told anything, but that's what I think is going to happen. You will not see Kenny Pickett. You will not see Joe Flacco. You're going to see Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, all right? Shedeur Sanders will mop up the game if healthy Dylan Gabriel starts, and Dylan Gabriel is going to have to play as well as, if not better, than we saw Shedeur play last Friday night in Carolina. So 100% the pressure is on Dylan. Now, there's going to be some on Shedeur, right? Because he's going to have to go out there and show that that just wasn't a one-time thing here, right? You're going to want to see him play well, but I think Dylan Gabriel got a little catching up to do all of a sudden.
Kenny Pickett's an interesting one for me because, Daryl, you throw out the fact you don't think he's going to play on Saturday.
Well, he's not healthy.
Right. So where do we stand on Gabe? Is there any chance at this point that Kenny Pickett can win the starting job or has any place on this roster at this point?
I don't think so. And again, this is my opinion. Okay. Joe Flacco's starting against the Bengals, barring circumstances happening in the next 3.5 to 4 weeks, okay, before September 7th. It'll be Joe Flacco against the Bengals. Again, unless something happens, right? I don't think Kenny Pickett will be able to win this job. He's missed too much time, which is a little unfortunate because I kind of feel like the Browns really, 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 really wanted Kenny Pickett to win the job. Unfortunately, this hamstring injury is going to prevent him from doing that because it's hard to win a starting quarterback job when you're unable to take full reps throughout the duration of the training camp there, and you're looking, this is week 3? We're going into week 3 of this injury. I had to do the math real quick in my head. You're talking about 3 weeks of not being able to be full go because of a hamstring injury. I nothing against Kenny, but I don't know how you win a competition under those circumstances.
Daryl, obviously joint practices happening over the course of the next 2 days with the Philadelphia Eagles. Are we looking at these as any kind of litmus test to what the Browns are going to be in the season? And if not, then what are we taking away from these? What is the main thing that you're looking for the Browns to do over the course of the next 2 days?
Oh, no. This totally is the litmus test for the upcoming season. Last year, they got slapped around by the Vikings for a couple of days. That told us 3-14 was on the way. We should have seen the warning signs. We saw the New York Football Giants slap them around a couple years ago. Well, that season didn't go all that great either, right? No, pretty big deal, these joint practices with Philadelphia. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. It's going to be starters versus starters. No, these are very, very big practices and certainly nothing to blow off from a significance standpoint. In fact, I would argue these practices a little more important than that preseason game. The preseason game is really only important to the folks that are competing for those final roster spots and those practice squad spots and the two rookie quarterbacks. That's the importance of the preseason game. But these two practices, both the tomorrow and on Thursday, big for the regular starting Cleveland Browns.
So, Daryl, what is a positive result for you for the next 2 days for the Browns?
Don't get slapped around. I'm serious.
Just look competitive?
Yeah. Hold your own.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, win your one-on-one drills, or at least, you know, tie, right? Hold your own in those. Hold your own in the 7-on-7s. Hold your own in the 11-on-11s. Absolutely. Like that, I'll say this, you know, I certainly don't want to be reading about how the Philadelphia Eagles went out and dominated the Browns in a practice, right? Because that will be just, for me, that will be an ominous sign of what I fear is to come to begin with. But if it's, hey, the Browns held their own against the defending champs for a couple of days, well, I'm going to feel a lot better about the upcoming season, especially considering what those first six to seven games look like on that schedule.
So, Daryl, if we look back at the quarterbacks, I know you had tweeted something out about it as well. You obviously tweeted out the unofficial Browns depth chart heading into this week, where the Browns saw no moves at quarterback. It's still Joe Kenny, Dylan Shador, and then the remainder of the quarterbacks on the back end of the roster, and right. Huntley and Deshaun. But was there any surprise to see the depth chart not move heading into this week?
No, and I can't believe that people were surprised by that. Like, I'm flabbergasted. That's why I tweeted. That's why I posted what I did on X. I'm flabbergasted at the volume of people that are just befuddled that it hasn't moved. I'm not going to say there isn't any reason to move it, because I would advocate, I would have flipped Shador and Dylan, but like, it goes back to the plan of what I believe the plan to be. I think the plan was originally they really wanted Kenny Pickett to win the starting job. That's not going to happen, so it's Joe Flacco. Kenny Pickett will be the backup. Dylan Gabriel will be number three in line. Shador will be number four in line. Like, I don't foresee anything changing in that regard between now and week one of the season, other than circumstances beyond control. Okay, and I'm not going to, yeah, I think you understand what I'm saying there without coming out and saying that, because they've already done it and they've already had to bring in a quarterback because of it, right? So, or add a quarterback, I should say, in Tyler Snoop-Huntley. But like, yeah, this depth chart is not changing, in my opinion. And those that are surprised by it not changing are either stuck in their own little echo chamber there, or they're just not paying attention to what's going on. So I'm not surprised that it changed. That doesn't mean I agree with it, but no, I'm not the least bit surprised that it 1 through 4 stayed the same.
So if Shador's not going to have a chance to move from, you know, 4 to 3 or whatever leading up to week one,
I think the only way he moves up, to be honest with you, is, again, circumstances beyond control. I think that's the only way. I think that their plan is to prepare Dylan Gabriel to start at some point when the season is down the drain in November, December, to see what he has. And then maybe we see Shador at the end of the season. But their thing right now is to develop Shador. And you know what? I'm not going to argue with it. I know there's folks that probably want me to sit here and rail against the Browns for, quote-unquote, holding Shador back. I disagree. I think them taking this approach sets Shador up better for success than if they did bump him up the depth chart and you know, get overly enthused over one preseason game. Okay, it was a good performance. Not taking it. There were some red flags in that performance too. Let's be fair about it. Okay, it was more good than bad. Again, being very clear about that, but there were some things that the Browns want him to clean up that he showed why they want him to clean up. The difference was he didn't get penalized by that, okay? He didn't lose massive yardage because he turned his back to the line of scrimmage multiple times as he was trying to evade pressure, which is an absolute no-no in the National Football League, okay? He got away with it. In the regular season, he's probably not getting away with that. And you have to objectively be fair and understand that when you're doing these evaluations. He made some throws that were just absolutely spectacular. They were chef's kiss. They were that good, okay? But yeah, there were some things that get you a little nervous, and that's okay. So I it's hard for me to rail against the Browns right now with their approach to Shedeur Sanders. In fact, I wish they took that same approach with Dylan Gabriel. That's just me.
Again, Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers. Daryl, looking away from the quarterback on Friday, what did you take away from Carson Schwessinger? I know he's out there for 13 snaps, but it felt like he was everywhere.
Yeah, he really was. Both and same thing, Mason Graham, right? I mean, we haven't talked a lot about him, and he's out there doing his job. I feel like if we'd be talking about him, it's because he's not doing his job and he's missing, right? But both of those guys were out there for limited time. They did their jobs, got off the field, and that, I think that tells you right then and there what the organization thinks and feels about both of those players, that was their approach, right? Get your work in, get your butt off the field, we're done, right? And I think that's going to be a similar approach in Philadelphia on Saturday. Get you your 10 to 15 snaps, get your work in, and then let's get you off the field and protect you because we're going to need you for 17 games in the regular season.
Daryl, I'll get you out of here on this one. I was looking at it and just thinking about this team and what is going to be the difference maker between, you know, them being not great to at least okay. I don't know that there's really a higher bar than that. Would it be wrong of me to say the biggest X factor in doing that would be Kevin Stefanski going out there and making a difference with this team?
Well, look, Kevin can't go out there and defend and pressure and tackle. He can't throw the football. He can't catch the football. He can't run the football. And he can't block. So, I mean, look, obviously, he's got to put him in the best position to be successful. No question about that. But it's on the players, okay? I don't, and this always makes me scratch, I don't have any reservation that Kevin Stefanski is not going to do his best to put these guys in an optimal position to be successful, okay? No coach goes out there and is like, well, let's see, how can I stick it to my team today? What can I do to make their life a living you-know-what, right? Or how can I make it as hard on them as humanly possible? No coach has that approach. And I think that Kevin is already doing that with the style of offense they're going to run. 12 personnel, two tight end sets, going to run and throw with the running backs coming out of the backfield, right? You got to, you know, push it down the field on occasion, but, we're not going to be taking deep shots all the time. It's going to be about moving the ball down the field. Look at how the approach was in that preseason game on Friday night, right? They moved the ball down the field, and that's what we're going to see this year. So I think Kevin Stefanski, I am of the belief that Kevin Stefanski will do everything in his power to put them in a position to be successful. Whether or not the results show that, I'm not confident in that just because, well, they don't have a quarterback. And until they do, I'm not going to be confident in that. But I will remind people that 2 years that Kevin Stefanski got competent quarterback play, he won 11 football games, and they made the playoffs both years. And with that, I rest my case on Kevin Stefanski.
Daryl, as always, appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you next week following yet another preseason game where we should have a good evaluation on rookie quarterbacks.
You betcha.
Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports beat reporter, with us there on the hotline, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say as well. Is Kevin Stefanski the biggest X factor for the Browns this season?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.